22. Good morning, church. It's so good to be here this morning. Man, the spotlights are on me. I don't like that feeling. But you know, we are in seasons. That's what our lives are all about. We go from one season to the other. And so what I wanted to do this morning, since we are, some of us still think we're in the summer season, right, because of the temperatures, but we are actually into autumn, right? I mean, the leaves are supposed to be changing, and it depends on where you are. If you're up north, the leaves are just beautiful, orange, reddish leaves. But what I wanted to do this morning was I wanted to start off with a video about seasons. Okay, and this is the season we're in right now. So that's the cue, and I want you all to enjoy this because I really did as well.
All year long, I've been hoping finally leaves are letting go, like frozen, and all of the pumpkin spice can be so potent. I have just this one song to share my devotion. When the leaves begin to change, I literally go insane. I will scream and I will shout, let's get them pumpkin to talk about. This is my fall song. Been waiting so long. A lot of puns left in me.
Cozy candles and letterboards, a pumpkin patch I'm heading towards. Oh my lord, singing oh my lord,
oh my lord.
Taking so many pics on my phone. What do I capture my Instagram post? I love you a latte or a pumpkin spice shade.
When the leaves begin to change, I literally go and I will scream and I will shout, let's get them pumpkin to talk about. This is my fall song. Been waiting so long. Put more layers on. Gonna hit the salon. Turn my hair to dark from dawn. I'll pay my fall song. So throw on your scarves and sing Hallelujah. Cause I've still got a lot of fun left for you. This is my fall song. Hot girl, summer is gone. Say goodbye to my summer bronze. Autumn is where I'll be gone. Leggings on and blazers gone. I'll play my fall song. So grab some leaves, this is unbelievable. Cause I've still got a lot of fun left for you.
Fantastic. I love it. And I just wanted us to get into the spirit of autumn as we're going into season. But my son, who surprised me this morning all the way from Jacksonville, showed up. And he's the one that sent us this video. Trey Kennedy, he's a Christian, a comedian. And he's got some other great stuff online if you want to follow up on him. But I just was, that's so catchy. I almost wanted to come up and start dancing. But I didn't have a sweater to try to follow him, you know what I'm saying? So I would have done, and then my wife and I was like, that's what Micah would have done. You know, as he's going down the plank and he turns around and he jumps, you know, I was like, that's our son. He would do something like that. But anyway, we are in the season of autumn, and that's what God does with us. He takes us from season to season. And I just wanted to encourage us that this is the season of autumn where things are changing for the beauty of it. But actually, we are concluding this morning with our series on idols among us, idols in our hearts. And I just wanted to do a quick review of the sermons that we've had so far. And number one, what is an idol? An idol is anything that your heart desires more than it desires God. Anything that we use to satisfy our needs that only God can. So that was one of the first points that we brought up in the beginning of this sermon series called Idols Among Us. What is an idol? We have to know what it is, how to define it. And from that moment on, then we can see what is it that God truly wants us to worship and have in our lives. Secondly, our life issues stem from idolatry in the heart. It is a constant tug. It's a constant battle between who is going to be enthroned in the heart of my life. So, and the third point I wanted to bring up is God has always desired and declared that he, and that is in caps for a reason, because there is a person that must be number one in our life in order for us to be successful in our mission on earth. Exodus 20, verse 2 and 3 says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt where you were slaves. You must not have any other gods except me. So God was very intentional. He was very purposeful, and he was very clear with the children of Israel back then. And the word of the Lord still applies to us because we are still his children, that this is what he wants for us, that he would be number one in our lives. And so this is where the battle begins. These are where the challenges come and we meet every day. Thomas Aquinas quoted, there is within every soul a thirst for happiness and meaning. Amen. So deep inside every one of us, those that are standing, those that are sitting, those that are walking the streets and driving, in every living soul, there is a thirst for happiness and meaning. It is that thirst that God desires to be, once again, cap letters, H-I-M. He desires that thirst to be him in our lives. And he is passionate and he will pursue it until he conquers every single heart. And so we have a God that is so in love with us that he will do anything and everything to get our attention and to bring the message of salvation. And he did that by sending his son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us. Amen. At the center of this battle of idolatry and true worship is our heart. And so if you, for those of you that are visual, tug of war, for those of you that have been in tug of war, you used to put like a little string there in the middle of the rope. And then you had a line over there, team A. And team B had a line over here. And that rope, that string, was being pulled from one side to the other. Okay? And I want to challenge you today that that is exactly what our lives are every day. There is a tug of war on our lives. And the very string that's on that rope is our heart. And on one side, it's God and heaven. And on the other side, it's hell and everything else that's contrary to God. And this is the tug of war that our heart it engages every day. Who or what sits on the throne of our heart rules our life. I'm going to repeat that again. Who or what sits on the throne of our heart rules our life. Many things will tug, jockey, and fight for position for our hearts. We have talked in previous sermons different types of idols that we encounter every day in our life. They're personal ones. their cultural ones, their religious ones, and their societal ones. And there was a list that Pastor Chip and Pastor Ron had. I don't want to get into that, but for those of you that would like to go back and see those messages, you can go on our website. Those sermons are there, and you can truly enrich your life by doing some more research on these types of idols that we are battling every day with our lives. In the Old Testament, Judah and, Israel and Jerusalem, they were called by God to serve him and follow him. But the very thing, if you read through the Old Testament, that God kept reminding them were, do not follow the nations around you. Do not follow their culture. Do not follow their traditions. Why? Because it will be a thorn in your life for what I want you to do. I am calling you to be set apart, consecrated. I love you and I want you. And God is passionate for his people. And I'm telling you that he has got a crazy love for each and every one of us. If we will just surrender and allow him to demonstrate that unconditional love, you will be conquered forever. Because that's who we are supposedly serving every day. Jeremiah 2:28 and 11 and 13. It speaks very clearly that in the Old Testament, the children of Israel had so many gods, as many streets were in the city, as many towns that they lived in. That's how many gods they were serving. Is there any other reason to conclude that that is why there's so much chaos and confusion in our society today? Because there's so many gods that are constantly drawing our attention in this tug of war. It is a constant battle every day. The moment you wake up, how many of you pick up your phone and open up and start reading messages, start reading the news? These are the things that the enemy tries to distract us from. Instead of getting up and saying, oh, my soul, bless the Lord with all you have. I begin this day by giving my life to you and I want to serve you. And so these are the things that we are challenged with every day. 2 Peter 2:19 says, for you are a slave to whatever controls you. And you know, the Bible is written in words, but there are pictures. There are pictures there. And for those of you that are visual, if you read the word, ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what is this picture? Well, slavery is bondage. Chains, cords, shackles, straitjackets. You get the picture? Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, of all things, guard your heart. Above all else, guard it. This is what the writer of Proverbs is giving us today, very clearly. The instruction is to guard your heart, protect it, fight for it, surround it with a wall of fire. Do everything you can to protect the heart. Why? Because from the heart flows the issues of life. And if there's anything that God wants, he wants to see life on the earth. And he wants that life to flow through each and every one of his creation. Because that's what brings him pleasure. His life flowing through his creation. And it's the heart of God. It pounds and it's so passionate about seeing his life flowing through his creation, his loved ones, the ones that he sent his son for. And I'm speaking about each and every one of you because you're so important and so special in the kingdom of God and in the ultimate plans and purposes that God has for his people on earth. How How do we replace the idols in our hearts? This is the question that keeps coming up in each of our lives. How do I break away? How do I cut myself? What must I do, God, to be free from these challenges every day that I'm engaged with? Number one, we have to make a decision to surrender. We were ministering here, well, we had a Friday night, and I was in the back. Friday nights are our prayer nights, our praise and worship nights. I welcome and invite any and all of you to come 7 o'clock to whenever God is done. But it is a time of meeting with God. It's a time of entering into His presence. It's a time of growing with Him. But during that time, the Lord ministered to me and said very clearly, a statement dropped in my heart and says, there is strength in surrender. There is strength in surrender. Psalms 37 verse 5 says, commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust Him and He will help you. There is strength in surrendering. Let go and let God. Very cliche, everybody's heard it, but it's so powerful if we just do it. If we just do that, He's gonna do His part. He's just waiting for us to do our part. Let go, that's us. Let God, that's Him. Man, this is too simple. I don't know, Mike. This is way too simple. Number two. When we surrender, something happens. We think we are losing something. And this is what is the battle in our minds and hearts. I've got so much invested in this, Mike. What are you talking about? I put so much time. I put so much effort. There is a lot in what you're asking me to give up, God. He says, but son, daughter, you have no idea what I have for you. If you would just let it go. When you surrender, then there's the most glorious heavenly exchange on earth on your behalf. Ezekiel chapter 36 says it very clearly. What is that exchange? Right here. I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony and stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. This is the exchange. This is what God wants for all of us to have and experience every day. Not just Sundays, not just Wednesdays, not Fridays, not that special day. I feel like I'm going to go to church today. God's going to. No, every day it's a lifestyle. What is so special about this heart and spirit? It's because it's from God. And He specifically has designed it and created it for each and every one of you. So, the key word here, if you look through that scripture, the key word is responsive. This is nothing else but a heart transplant. Has anybody ever had a heart transplant here? Anybody know of someone who has had a heart transplant? Mm-hmm. There could be a lot of complications. The body rejecting it. It's just not compatible. There's always monitoring going on. And the doctors are very careful to make sure that they take every step of precaution. But I want to tell you today that this physician that is doing this heart transplant guarantees that if you will respond, he will do that. And this is the part that we play. That when God gives us something, he is expecting a response. Because He's a living God. He's a loving God. He wants to be with us. He says, you will be my people and I will be your God. Do you know how powerful of a statement that is from God on earth and in hell? The very enemy can't stand that statement. And so if we take that statement from our heart, declare it with our mouth and say, he's our God and we're his people, everything shakes. And it lines up with God's word. The third thing is, from this heart flows three things. Number one, his presence. And the first thing that God wants us to encounter is his love. I'm telling you that there is nothing more powerful today than his unconditional love. I am telling you, I have been serving, seeking. I am in love with God for the last 35 years of my life. When God came into my life, because I said yes to him, I opened up. Listen, I was in college. UCF, by the way, they won yesterday. UCF. Go Knights. UCF. I'm also a Seminole fan. I'm also a Gator fan. I'm a mess. Pray for me. I know. My daughter went to Florida, so I, you know. My wife went to FSU. I went. I'm a mess. I'm a mud. I'm a mix. Yeah, just pray for me. I can't serve two God. You're right, Ben. I'm still in that dilemma. Pray for me. I've got to serve one. I chose him. His name is Jesus Christ. But, you know, when I was on the campus, I had goals. And I know we have students here, and I want to take a moment and just challenge you with this, because this is my testimony in 30 seconds. This woman right here, I was dating her, and I don't know what happened to her, but she was never the same since she came to the Lord. But I said, you know, if you changed her, then I know you can change me. And we've been married over 35 years. We've been serving the Lord 35 years since that day. But I want to tell you what happened. I want to tell you what happened, because I know all of you want to know. She set me up. She set me up. So I used to, for those of you football players and those of you that used to work out, I used to work out a lot. Okay? And so after I worked out, I came to my sister's house, and my wife was waiting at the door. I mean, my girlfriend. That's right. Let's correct that. And she says, we are going to Ivan and Maria's house tonight, are we? I said, oh, man, I forgot. Ivan and Maria, bless their heart, they are our spiritual mom and dad. Because when we came to the Lord, they took us in their house every Friday for 10 months and discipled us. I'm telling you, from A to Z in the Bible. Not only did we go through the word, but we actually practiced the word. So that day, July, the third week, 1984, it was a Thursday. I don't remember the date, but I remember that because that was etched in my life forever. I said, I'm either going to go because this lady is going to kill me, or she's just going to leave me. So, here's the thing. I made up all kind of excuses. Well, I'm tired. I'm hungry. I got study to do. All the things that would try to keep us from making that decision. So I finally gave in. But it was the best surrender of my life. Because I am standing here to tell you 35 years of serving the Lord, and I still want more of him. I am not satisfied, because there's more of him. And if there's more of him, then that's what I want. So that night, I'm sitting in the living room, and that day, that very night, Ivan is sharing the gospel, and I'm sitting over here, and Maria, his wife, had invited a secretary, and there's my wife. She's already saved in this particular instance. And And they're all done, and they're all looking at the secretary, because they brought her to get saved. But they forgot about Mike over here sitting down. And I just surprised them all. I said, you know what? I want to get saved. She remembers. I want to get saved. And they were like, Okay, all right. So Ivan comes over, and to this day, I never finished the prayer of salvation. He said, okay, pray with me. The moment I just started saying a few words, I just started crying like a baby. I couldn't stop. How many of you have cried and you can't stop? It's like, and you just, that's the way I was. I couldn't stop. So when I finally stopped, I'm talking about several minutes, the very thing I experienced, I'll never forget. How many of you have gone through the woods and you've looked at a log, and inside the log, it's clear as can be? And I felt like God blew his life through me like an empty log, and it was so good. It was so clear and so fresh. The very next day, I got into my Datsun B210, for those of you that remember Datsun B210s, and I started looking for a Christian radio station. Now, I had my radios I had it all planned. Turned my car on. I was listening to some music from the world. But all of a sudden, something happened to me from Thursday to Friday morning. That's less than 24 hours. And I was looking for a Christian station. I found Pastor Chuck Smith from Costa Mesa, California. And I stayed with him for months and months. So I get to the campus, and those of you that like to party, you know what happens on Friday, right? It's party time. So my buddies, they see me on the campus. They say, hey, Mike, we set for tonight? I said, not tonight. I said, what's wrong with you? I said, listen, I gave my life to the Lord. They're looking at me like, yeah, all right, we'll see how long that lasts. Who's challenging me? Who's challenging me? That liquor bottle is the idol. That marijuana is the idol. That's what's challenging me. Those false gods are trying to steal what God started in my life. But I made a decision. I will not go back. I will go forward and serve the Lord. Because now I know who's the true God. He changed my life. I am not the same anymore. How do you know that? Just watch. Just watch the fruit of my life. I'm going to start reading the word. I'm going to start praying. I'm going to start fasting. I'm going to church. I want to find people that love Jesus and will challenge me to love him more. Because I found out that Christianity is not an isolated event. His presence, the love of God, cast out all fear. When I experience his love, all fear about what's valuable to me, what am I going to lose, what am I afraid of, what will others say, will I lose them? Guess what? The friends I thought I had, I lost, but God gave me more friends. And those are the ones that brought value in my life. First John 4:18. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. The second thing, his word. His word is the life that he wants us to experience every day as we open the word. And it says clearly, Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. It will show how my life should be lived. We don't need to be looking for any other manuals. We have it. Not only in written form, but it's in app form. I asked a guy once I was having lunch with, I said, do you have a Bible? He says, yeah. I said, well, do you read? He says, yeah, it's on my phone. That's where we are. But guess what? That's another way of getting the word in us. Yeah. And if anything, it's about his story of redemption and restoration. And that's what we need to be reminded of every day, that we were redeemed and we were restored to our Creator and Maker and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the importance of the Word. It is a reminder and it's an encouragement. And it also equips us, because Hebrews 4:12 says that it's alive. And so when you take it, guess what you have? You have life. And when you share it, you're sharing life. And when you come with someone that's walking in depression and stress and darkness, you bring life. Why? Because it's the word of the Lord. And he's promised that if we send his word, it will not return void, but it will accomplish that for what it was purposed for. The third thing, we experience his love, man. There's nothing more powerful than his love. And then his life from the word. And then from the life comes the liberty, the spirit of the living God. How many of us want freedom? How many of us are tired of trying to figure out, where is my liberty? Well, I'm here to tell you today, there's no need to struggle any longer. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And there's freedom. To do what? To worship God. To know God. To worship God. You can come on up. To worship God. To know God. The heart of the issue has always been about the heart. The fight has always been about the heart. It will always be about the heart. We must understand the importance of the battle that goes on between false teaching and true teaching. False worship and true worship. False gods and the true God. This is our challenge every day. For as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yes. Every day we are challenged when we wake up and we go to campuses and the professors' teachings and whatever else that we encounter. Yes, when we go to work and our employers are asking us to do things that are not Christ-like. Yes, authorities that are speaking to us in ways that are, it just goes against our grain. But there's something inside of us that says, Christ has called me to liberty. And I don't need to be bound to this. And I have a stand and I have a choice every day to say, I'm going to serve the Lord. But the time is coming. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. Jesus at the well with the woman, and she's thinking about a place. And Jesus is saying, no, it's not about a place. It's about a person. But the time is coming. Indeed, it's here now when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking. This is incredible. The Father is looking. Do you know what it's like for a father to be looking for a lost child? Some of you have experienced that. You go to the mall and all of a sudden, little Jill is not in my hand anymore. Where are you? And you're just frantic. Jill, Jill, where are you? And this is the Father. He is looking. He is looking for you. Where are you? The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, and so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And this is my point. Your heart is worth fighting for. Your marriage is worth fighting for. Your children are worth fighting for. Some of us parents, we have been praying for our sons and daughters. But the word of the Lord promises us that there is a time of restoration. We have been calling the prodigal sons and daughters. Matter of fact, we sang a song today. God has made a way for them to come back. Do not give up. Keep fighting for their heart. Do not shrink back. Do not keep fighting for them. Because God is, he is someone who is faithful to his word. He will fulfill his word. And so this morning, I just wanted to end by just saying a couple of things. And what we're going to do is we're going to worship with a song this morning. And I want us all to engage. And we're going to open the altar for anyone that wants to just surrender their heart to the Lord. This is a good place to do that. Worship is a thankful response and not a repayment for what God has done. God is not looking for payment on service rendered. That is not his economy. But that's how we've been trained. That's our mindset. The kingdom is not like that. Tim Keller said, everyone worships something. The only choice you get is what to worship. And finally, I want to end up by saying, and we will worship. True worship is defined by the priority we place on who God is in our lives and where God is on our list of priorities. True worship is a matter of the heart expressed through a lifestyle of holiness. We worship God because he is God. And I say this emphatically, period. We worship him because of who he is and not what he can give us. And this is the incredible revelation that we can receive every day. So I would ask you all to please rise. Let's sing this song and let's get our hearts aligned with him today. I think, and I really believe, God is calling us back. He's drawing us back. He wants us to come back to a heart of worship. So as they lead us in worship, please join. And I ask those of you that are on the prayer team to come forward and be prepared to pray for those who are going to come seeking for prayer and connection. Amen. So please, no need to leave. This is your time. Prayer warriors, come on down. Prayer partners, Diana, Corey, thank you.